Exodus 17, verse 1 says, "The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded." Excuse me. This desert region was unable to support human life. I'm told that the Israelites consisted of 2.5 million people plus animals. They needed 900 tons of food and at least 2 million gallons of water every day. They camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. They were thirsty. Just think for a moment what it's like to feel really thirsty. Not only were they thirsty, but they were having to contend with children thirsty, their wives thirsty, their animals thirsty. You wouldn't be able to think about anything else except satisfying thirst. You would become impatient, perhaps violent. We read here that the people quarreled with Moses and were ready to kill him. The people complained and grumbled to Moses, but Moses cried out to God and asked them why they were putting God to the test. They had quickly forgotten the long series of miracles which had rescued them and served them and fed them. But would we have been any different, I wonder? The people looked only at their circumstances, but Moses looked to God to direct them. And then God shows his power through a miracle of mercy so that they would know the certainty of his presence with them. And with the elders as witnesses, he causes water to come from the rock. And I was thinking, if they needed 2 million gallons of it, it must have been an absolute abundance of water provided very quickly. Moses then called the place Massah and Meribah, which means testing and quarreling. They tempted God and they complained and blamed Moses. But we have a picture of the wonderful patience and forbearance of God. In 1 Corinthians 10, 3-4, Paul suggests that the pre-existent Christ was the one who sustained the people with food and water. We read, "They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." So we now have the link between the physical water and the spiritual water that is Jesus. In John chapter 4, we have the well-known story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Jesus is tired and he is thirsty. He asks the Samaritan woman to give him a drink. In doing so, he crosses both a cultural and religious boundary and she queries it. Jesus is trying to instruct her in divine things, but the woman is thinking in the natural. She's not grasped the spiritual dimension. But as the chapter goes on, the woman begs for the living water. Jesus tells her her whole life story and reveals who he is to her. She goes back and tells her whole village. It's the first account of the gospel being told outside the people of Israel. What about us? Do we beg for living water? Verse 10 says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Jesus is the gift of God mentioned here. If we know him, he says we will ask him. He will give us living water. But what is living water? John 7:37-39 states, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified." So living water is the Holy Spirit. But in times of difficulty, do we ask? These passages have given us a picture of parallels between physical thirst and spiritual thirst. So what does a thirsty soul look like? Our soul consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions. If we look at a soul filled with living water, we will see the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 tells us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Also, they're all one fruit, so we can't pick and choose between the qualities. We can't say, for example, "Well, actually, I'm quite a kind person, but I'm very impatient, and that's just the way I am." Love, as part of the fruit, is further defined in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. We are told further in 1 John 4:16, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them." These passages give us a beautiful picture of a soul trusting God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and at complete rest. So what does a thirsty soul look like? Well, we can see that the parallels with physical thirst apply. Complaining, grumbling, blaming, quarrelling, anger. And then, of course, there are all the things that relate to our self-centeredness when we stop trusting God. Pride, self-pity, resentment, etc. The list goes on. Psalm 95 is a song extolling the greatness of God whom we worship. It's quite contrary to the way the Israelite people were feeling. In their time of great need, they questioned whether there was a God or not. They questioned whether he would provide, whether he governed the world, whether he would be as good as his word to them, whether he was really with them. Whereas the psalmist confidently states in verse 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." Then in verse 8, there's a stark warning for us. "Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." We might say, "I don't think I hear his voice very well." Well, if we didn't, we wouldn't be sitting here. God has spoken to all of us. He consciously, every day, pursues us and calls us closer to himself. We hear his voice, whether we are aware of it or not. He's constantly, constantly calling us. We read in Jeremiah 6:16, this is what the Lord says: "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it." We have a choice. Matthew 11:29 tells us, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." If we know Jesus, he says we will ask him and he will give us living water. We have a choice. We choose to be at rest, or we choose to be in a place of strife. The dictionary definition of living is to have qualities of warmth, vigour, vitality, brilliance, etc. In any circumstances we find ourselves, that circumstances that we've created, where we've created times of difficulty because of negative emotions that we don't seem to be able to take hold of and we're being unhelpful through it, or whether they're circumstances outside our control, where we seem to be in the middle of other things happening around us that are causing difficulty. In any circumstances, if we choose to stop and ask Jesus for the living water of the Holy Spirit to help us, we acknowledge God and his grace working in our lives. His dynamic, living Holy Spirit changes the attitude of our souls. We are then supernaturally able to trust God to be at work in our lives. Our souls are at rest in him, and the streams of living water flow out from us to touch the lives of others. Let us pray. And I feel that if we want to receive something from God this morning, that we hold our hands out as we pray, because he's longing to give us what we individually need. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of Jesus, that if we just ask, then you will fill us with more of your Holy Spirit, streams of living water flowing out from you, abundant life in Jesus. Heavenly Father, you know each one of us and our present circumstances. You know what we struggle with. You know what we're finding difficult. And so, Heavenly Father, we lay that before you now and we ask, please help us. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. May we see you, Lord, in the difficult circumstances and see the changes you're bringing about this day. And help us, Lord, by your grace to trust you. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.